Today at Kwarinam, December 15th. Greetings, everyone. Today we're working on a new edition of the ancient 2,200-year-old Tirukkural under new name Weaver's Wisdom in American English. I held the manuscript in my hand. I chanted Om. Aum, aum, aum. And in answer to the question from our cyberspace friend in Asia, how do you pronounce Om? It's A-U-M. And true, it's also pronounced Om. But the esoteric mystical pronunciation is A-U-M. Thank you very much for your question. Back to Weaver's Wisdom. I opened it on friendship. Verse, which in Tamil language is Kural, 784, reads like this. The meaning of making friends is not merrymaking, but a stern rebuke when friends go astray. If you call someone your friend, this indicates your friends for a long, long time. And if your friend goes astray, it's your responsibility. It's your ku karma, which means bad karma, if you let your friend go astray without bringing his mind around, bringing her mind around, bringing their minds around so that they're on the path of Dharma. We have two of our Madhavasi, Sanskrit for monk, sitting on the wall of rain. What is that? You'll see some pictures of the wall of rain and them sitting there today. It means that they are begging entrance into Kwarinam, our monastery, here on the beautiful island of Kauai. They are begging to take four vows for 2 years. They have permission from their parents in writing. Their parents are behind them. We're welcoming them, but why are they sitting there? They are tuning in to a harmonious group of 25 mature men and young men from several different countries who are working together for the Hindu Renaissance, for putting out our beautiful books, for teaching and preaching and worshipping and developing their inner life in Saivasiddhanta, which means Saivasiddhanta is external worship and then internal worship, which is meditation into samadhi. Both go together. That's a balanced life. These young men are Jivananda and Nilakanta. Jivananda was born in Saivasiddhanta Church, as I said yesterday. Beautiful mother and father, Satya and Savitri. Nilakanta is also sitting there, and he's from Wisconsin, who just came back from a tour of all the magnificent temples of India for several weeks with Paramacharya Bodhinatha Swami. Our art team is just finished today. Weaver's Wisdom art, which is being done by Manivelu in Chennai, India. It's been a wonderful day. Now we're going to answer some questions. I know you've been waiting for these answers. Saraswati, you ask a question about the third eye and the burning experience that you're having there and have had for a number of years. Well, that's very good news. But you really need a guru, a Hindu guru, and to become a Hindu yourself, fully. By your name, we would call you an Ardha Hindu, a half Hindu, to go further in your spiritual unfoldment in the chakras through Hinduism, or choose Buddhism. From San Diego, about desire. Desire is a force within everyone. The greater the soul, the stronger the desires. However, the will of the soul can channel the energy of that force into any direction that he or she wishes it to go. It can go high or it can go low, depending upon your decision. Therefore, prayer for direction, puja for manifesting the prayer, a purpose, where is that desire going to go, a definite plan, next month, the month after, next year, the year after, persistence, keeping your desires on track, and a lot of willpower push. The six P's go into action here. Well, here's another one from Saraswati. Very happy that you're communicating with us. Please explain to me why there are no female swamis at your ashram. Do you believe that women can become monastics the same as men? And yes, they can. In India and in America, there are wonderful spiritual leaders who are women. They live in ashrams, and only women live with them in ashrams. So we're following a tradition in our parampara, in our sampradaya, like the Catholics, that divide the men and the women. If you're interested, we can send you the names and addresses of great women swamis who run very large groups of women into spiritual unfoldment. I say run them into spiritual unfoldment because their disciplines are very strong, maybe stronger than men. And you ask if children who don't know any better incur karma because of evil deeds, and they're too young to know right from wrong, do they accrue bad karma? And yes, they do, even if they see it on TV. The parents also accrue bad karma too for not directing the children and protecting them from the TV. And not only the parents, but the grandparents. And not only the grandparents, but all aunts and uncles in the entire family chain, because of their lack of responsibility for guiding the children properly. And that bad karma can be very, very bad. From Malaysia, we have another question, and that is the pronunciation of Om. I answered that question at the beginning of today at Kuarinam. Om, Om, Om. That's the way Om is pronounced esoterically by the Siddhars, by the philosophers who are on the path of words. They just translate it as Om. Continuing, this is not only a mystical Siddhar metaphysical understanding, it is a linguistic understanding as well. But those who are just on the path of words, as I've said before, say Om, like O-M. That doesn't have the vibration. That doesn't have the impact. And that doesn't lift the consciousness as Om, Om, Om. Ah should vibrate the Manipuri chakra, which is your belly button, the solar plexus, should vibrate. Ah. Ooh should vibrate the throat chakra. The head chakras. Ah, ooh, the instinctive blends with the intellectual, blending into the spiritual. And then off the page. There's no more to say. Into the divine of the divine. This has been wonderful. Send in your questions. And also, let's go on Inner Search to Alaska. Everyone on board. Om Namah Shivaya.